Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with a CBS World News Roundup. Britain is intensifying its military measures in the conflict with Argentina over the Falkland Islands. Doug Sefton reports first from London.
Britain has decided to step up its offensive potential, putting on alert the 5th Infantry Brigade currently in the United Kingdom and requisitioning the ocean liner QE2 for transport of several thousand troops. The new mobilization was announced a short time ago by Ministry of Defense spokesman Ian MacDonald.
The QE2's speed, size, and facilities make her uniquely suited to carry substantial numbers of troops who must be kept fit and ready for operations should they be required.
MacDonald criticized Argentine military leadership for what he called fabrications regarding British military losses during the weekend engagements. For that reason, he was as specific as possible, for instance, on the latest confrontation involving a British helicopter missile attack on two Argentine patrol boats.
As I have already announced, one of these vessels was sunk and the other damaged. All our helicopters returned safely.
As an indication of the magnitude of the mobilization, the Defense Ministry also announced plans for requisition of two roll-on, roll-off ferries for vehicle transport and a container ship to carry additional helicopters. Doug Sefton, CBS News, London.
This is Charles Gomez in Buenos Aires. There was no confirmation this morning from Argentina's military junta of reports from the British Ministry of Defense that British helicopters sank an Argentine patrol craft and damaged another patrol boat off the Falklands coast. But the Joint Chiefs of Staff here did confirm that the Argentine cruiser General Belgrano had been torpedoed by a British submarine, causing unspecified damage. The attack was cited as a major reason Argentina this morning rejected a 7-point ceasefire agreement announced by Peruvian President Fernando Belaunde Terry last night. Belaunde Terry said the plan was drawn up by Secretary of State Alexander Haig, who transmitted it to Peru. Belaunde then presented the plan to Argentina. A presidential spokesman said the proposal had been rejected because of the attack on the General Belgrano. The spokesman added the plan was similar to one proposed by Haig on April 27th and turned down by President Leopoldo Galtieri. The junta said recent incidents in the South Atlantic were, in its words, only the beginning of more hostilities. President Galtieri reportedly told his military commanders in an emergency meeting at the presidential palace, it will not be Argentina waving the white flag. Charles Gomez, CBS News, Buenos Aires.
The General Belgrano, the cruiser that the British attacked and damaged yesterday, is a former ship of the United States Navy, then named the Phoenix. She survived the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor and spent most of the war with the U.S. 7th Fleet, which supported General MacArthur's campaign to return to the Philippines. For a while late yesterday, there was brief excitement over that Peruvian peace initiative in the Falklands crisis, but nothing came of it. Both sides said no. British Foreign Secretary Francis Pym discussed the diplomatic aspects of the crisis in New York last night with UN Secretary General Javier Perez de Cuellar, and we'll hear about that from Richard C. Hotelet.
When the meeting was over, Perez de Cuellar said he was happy to note that Britain is interested in a peaceful solution, and he said the United Nations and I are willing to help the parties in solving the problem. But the Secretary General made it clear he had no specific mandate to mediate or negotiate, nor is there a peace formula for him to pursue. For his part, Foreign Secretary Pym said he had no idea what the President of Peru meant by proposing a ceasefire and had no intention of accepting one. He stressed that Britain demands Argentina's withdrawal from the Falkland Islands and that military operations will continue to drive that point home.
It's a fundamental requirement, of course, that they withdraw. They are under a mandatory resolution to withdraw. This is one of the fundamental issues, to withdraw their forces. And so far they've shown no indication or any willingness to do that. But that is a fundamental prerequisite.
As long as Argentina demands sovereignty in the Falklands and Britain demands withdrawal, the prospects for negotiation seem dim. But the pressure of war may make a difference. At that point, the UN and the Secretary General might help either or both the parties to climb down. Richard C. Hotelet, CBS News, United Nations.
Before his talks at the United Nations, the British Foreign Secretary consulted in Washington on the military aspects of the crisis, and Bill Lynch has details at the Pentagon.
American aid to the British fleet could become a mini land-lease program. Throughout the crisis, the U.S. has provided tanker shipments of fuel to Ascension Island and intelligence and vital satellite radio links for British ships and submarines. But now giant C-5 cargo planes may soon begin shuttling spare parts, ammunition, and replacement aircraft to the Ascension staging area. British Foreign Minister Francis Pym was in Washington yesterday discussing the U.S. logistic role with Defense Secretary Weinberger. Weinberger said after the meeting at the British Embassy that Pym had made no requests.
We will stay with just what the President said, and that would be that we would offer material assistance and logistical support and the help that we can.
Including continuing refueling at Ascension.
Oh, yes, we would continue that.
One reason for the lack of urgency in making specific requests is that the British fleet currently has no pressing need for additional U.S. support. But officials here say that is liable to change if this crisis drags on much longer. Bill Lynch, CBS News, the Pentagon.
President Reagan is expected to take up the Falklands dispute when he meets today with the National Security Council. Poland's martial law government today faces a new challenge from Solidarity, reported by Doug Tunnell in Warsaw.
Solidarity activists say they will again defy the authorities by gathering in a Warsaw cathedral later today for a second rally in support of the now suspended union. It appears to be a test of wills. The authorities issued a warning on Sunday against any unauthorized public gatherings in the capital and specified that the ban included processions outside churches. The communique noted that some martial law restrictions were being eased, but it said that all offenders of remaining restrictions will be punished in summary proceedings. Security is tight in Warsaw now. In addition to Saturday's May Day celebrations, today is the anniversary of a pre-communist Polish constitution dated 1791. Solidarity's leaders may hear more on the government's thinking about what to do with the union in a parliament session scheduled to open later today. Poland's official media have carried statements calling for Solidarity to be disbanded and its leaders punished. But Western analysts here believe that martial law authorities have not yet decided what the union's future will be. Doug Tunnell, CBS News, Warsaw.
The Washington Post this morning says President Reagan has decided to accept Soviet President Brezhnev's invitation for a summit meeting in October in a third country. The Post says the meeting is likely to take place in Austria or Ireland. White House officials do not confirm the story. They say Mr. Reagan still hopes that Brezhnev will accept the offer of a meeting at the United Nations in July. In El Salvador, Alvaro Magana was sworn in yesterday as the country's provisional president, succeeding Christian Democrat Jose Napoleon Duarte. He is a political independent with strong U.S. support. The laborious process of choosing a jury in the trial of John Hinckley Jr. is nearing completion today in Washington Federal Court. We'll hear about it from Fred Graham.
The process is called striking the jury or exercising peremptory challenges. First, 12 potential jurors will be seated in the jury box, and then the defense and prosecution lawyers will take turns striking potential jurors whom they consider not sympathetic to their case. The defense will be given 16 strikes, the prosecutors 9, and after each one, a new person from the pool will join the jury until the final jury is selected. Opening arguments by the lawyers will commence later in the day or first thing tomorrow. Jury duty in this case will be unusual for a highly publicized trial in that the jurors will not be sequestered but will be allowed to go home each evening with an admonition from the judge not to read or hear news reports about the case. Many lawyers have expressed surprise that Judge Parker would risk a mistrial because of an unsequestered jury, but he feels that locking the jurors up for more than a month of a trial is a hardship that they should not be required to undergo. One bit of evidence that they may see is yet to be decided. It will be announced later in the week whether President Reagan will testify in person or on videotape about the attempt on his life. Fred Graham, CBS News, Washington.
The budget process resumes today at the White House. Mr. Reagan meeting this afternoon with Republican congressional leaders and then with Republican members of the Senate Budget Committee. The dollar gained against the British pound today but declined against the other major currencies. Gold is selling in Zurich at around $348 an ounce, down about $13 from Friday's close in Zurich, but up several dollars from the close in New York. The London markets are closed this morning for a bank holiday.
Charles Osgood reporting on the CBS Radio Network. During a time like the Falklands crisis, one gets the impression that the whole world is holding its breath, ears glued to the radio for late developments, and that when circumstances thrust a given situation to the center of the world stage, all people, wherever they are, must be absorbed in the drama, the history of their own time in the making. This, however, is a false impression. Many people in this world do not know what has been going on, though they might care if they did know. And many others do know something has been going on and couldn't care less. Stand by.
Morning seemed to start out better. You seem to go much better. When you start the day together, you and Maxwell House. Flavor that you come to count on.
Coffee can give you, because Maxwell House is always good to the last drop.
Getting that good to the last drop, baby. Maxwell House.
Life goes on, of course, crisis or not. People go on about their business, whatever that may be. We tend to think mostly about things that are close to us. The Falkland Islands are not close to very many people in this world. This past weekend, crackling as it was with tension, you might get the idea that everybody was preoccupied with the events in the South Atlantic, pretty much to the exclusion of everything else. Well, nothing could be farther from the truth, of course. Do you suppose Jim Campbell and his trusty girlfriend, Patty Trusty, were thinking mostly about the Falkland Islands? The two of them have a lot of other stuff on their minds just now, having just set out to fly around the world on a pair of motorized hang gliders in a series of 50-mile hops. So far, they've made it all the way from Watsonville, California, to Fireball, California. It will take some persistence to make it all the way across the country and then up the coast and to Iceland and Scotland and continental Europe and China and the Soviet Union and Alaska and then back home to Watsonville. But the two of them swear they're going to hang in there. The Falkland Islands are the last thing on their minds, unless they get really badly off course. Do you think the folks in Selin Grove, Pennsylvania, were terribly preoccupied with the Falkland Islands yesterday? Perhaps they were, but if so, they managed to suppress their anxiety long enough to devour the longest banana split in human history, 8,000 feet, shattering the old 7,200-foot record. 8,000 people took part, everybody splitting his own banana on a queue, and then trucks doled out the ice cream, 10 quarts per 25 feet. Then came the 100 gallons of topping, and then on queue, everybody started to eat. They polished the whole thing off in 15 minutes, we're told. Perhaps real history was being made thousands and thousands of miles away. But when you are looking at a banana split over a mile and a half long, it's hard to think about much of anything else. As for William Hardison, Jr. of Nashville, Tennessee, he was preoccupied with his own problems, which are as follows. Recently, when he left his house to take his beloved dog named Fidel Castro for a walk, somebody came in and left a dead chicken, a voodoo doll, and a note on his front porch. The note from an ex-girlfriend named Elizabeth Ann Honig put a voodoo curse on Hardison and his dog. So Hardison has filed a $500 lawsuit. In the suit, he admits that 20 years ago, he did do something that got Miss Honig rather upset. What he did was he held her upside down and naked outside a second-story window and would not let her back in until she gave the password of the day. The password of the day that particular day, the lawsuit recalls, was this. How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? Now, this message.
American businesses today face a computer dilemma. They want a desktop business computer with the power to rival more expensive mini computers, but priced like a so-called personal computer.
You've got it, American business, from Victor. The Victor 9000 business computer is priced under $5,000 like a personal, yet the Victor has the kind of memory and storage capacity that business applications demand, considerably more than the IBM personal or Apple III computers.
Your Victor dealer is listed in the white pages. Victor Business Products is a Kidde company.
Newsbreak. Charles Osgood, CBS News.
CBS News. Another strong freedom demonstration in Warsaw today, and riot police attacked the crowd with tear gas, injuring and arresting a number. I'm Richard C. Hotelet reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The CBS News Bureau in Warsaw sent us the sounds of a new great demonstration, thousands of people gathering in defiance of government orders. More from Doug Tunnell.
Polish riot police fired tear gas and water cannons into a crowd of about 15,000 solidarity demonstrators in Warsaw's Old City today. The demonstrators chanted, "Down with the junta" and "Free Lech Wałęsa" as the water cannons pursued them through the narrow, winding streets of the Old Town. It was an event planned 2 days ago at the first pro-solidarity rally in Warsaw since martial law, but authorities had warned they would deal firmly with any disruptions today, and by all appearances, they did so. A number of arrests are reported. The authorities will punish violators in summary court proceedings, a communique warned. The event angered many young Poles who watched the militia take action against their fellow countrymen, and it brought tears to the eyes of others who remember old Warsaw's destruction by German troops in World War II. Once again, you could hear the shouts of Gestapo echo through the old city of Warsaw this afternoon. Doug Tinnell, CBS News, Warsaw.
The Falkland Islands story after this.
Adam, would you please get your nose out of my magazine?
Look at this Pitney Bowes copy you had with the BC comic strip.
I didn't know Pitney Bowes sold copies.
Well, the word is spreading, and now you know. Pitney Bowes sells and services a complete line of copiers, like the Pitney Bowes 9600, the desktop copier that fits anywhere and does almost everything.
Yeah. For a free demonstration, call Pitney Bowes. They're in the phone book.
How'd you know that?
Well, it says so right here.
Oh, you're so smart. Oh, that Pitney Bowes character is so funny.
Pitney Bowes, the copiers you've been reading about.
Look, you're head of our advertising department, but you're recommending what?
2 million party balloons with a company phone number on the bottom.
But we're trying to reach doctors, lawyers, business people.
I'll let them go over a golf course.
What about radio?
Radio.
See, with radio, we can pick the exact stations the people we want to sell listen to.
Does radio come in 5 festive colors?
No, but it works.
I'll tell you what works. Funny t-shirts.
Wow.
See this one right here? Look for our message on the party balloons at the golf course.
Now that works.
Radio. Red hot because it works. For more facts on radio, call this station of the Radio Advertising Bureau. They brought you this message.
Open warfare continues in the South Atlantic. Britain says its forces sank an Argentine patrol boat and damaged another. And defense officials announced the Queen Elizabeth, the QE2, would be pressed into service as a troop transport. Argentina has announced its rejection of a new peace plan yesterday by Peruvian President Fernando Belaunde Terry. More on that from Charles Gomez in Buenos Aires.
Sources at the foreign ministry were angry at Belaunde's decision to hold a news conference saying that Argentina and Great Britain had agreed to the plan and that a ceasefire was imminent. Haig reportedly approached Belaunde asking him to act as an intermediary. Said one source at the foreign ministry, Belaunde is doing this for his own sake. The stuff he is trying to sell, nobody wants to buy. The agreement was rejected by Argentine President Leopoldo Galtieri this morning. A spokesman for the president said the proposal was nothing more than a reworking of the same ideas presented by Haig in a plan on April 27th. That proposal was rejected because officials here said it compromised Argentina's sovereignty over the islands. The plan was also turned down because of renewed British attacks near the Falklands. Charles Gomez, CBS News, Buenos Aires.
Britain's Foreign Secretary Francis Pym left New York this morning to return to London after 2 days in Washington and at UN headquarters asking for support in ending what Britain calls Argentina's unlawful invasion of the Falklands. So far, there is no machinery for peaceful settlement, he said, and Britain will continue its military pressure. Sources tell AP that the Reagan administration has reached agreement to sell Jordan 36 American F-5G jet fighter planes. The deal also reportedly calls for the sale of Stinger anti-aircraft missiles. It's up to Congress to block it or let the deal go through. More news after this.
We're speaking to you from the living room of one of today's lesser-known artists, a Mr. Harvey Klein. How do you do, Mr. Klein?
How do you do?
Mr. Klein, what is that you're painting?
I am painting the living room wall.
The wall?
Yes, the wall with colony paints.
I see.
Of course you see. Everyone can see the works of art I create with colony paint.
It is beautiful, Mr. Klein, but what about a landscape or still life?
Ah, but there's still life in every can of colony paint. Just look how easy colony paint goes on. Hundreds of colors, each leaving a beautiful finish you'll call a masterpiece for years to come.
But, Mr. Klein, aren't paintings of this size rather expensive?
Of course not. Colony paint isn't expensive, so why should my paintings be expensive? Now then, has one of my works of art caught your eye?
Well, actually, that 8x15-foot wall in the dining room isn't bad.
It's yours. Okay, boys, take down number 7. That's it. Move it out. Give it to the lady here. That's fine.
Buy Colony Paints and turn your home into a work of art.
the United States and 10 foreign countries have agreed on a new airfare plan that could lead to lower fares. It allows airlines to raise or lower fares by 20% without approval from all 11 nations. On Wall Street at this time, the Dow Jones average is down 6.27. Volume on the big board, a fairly light 17.5 million shares. The Dow Jones Industrials, 842.09. Richard C. Hotellet, CBS News.